Hi, this is module number two on tools. And lesson one is all about knowing your who. And that means knowing your slam dunk customer, the perfect person you want to help with your products or services. It's important to remember as we kick this off, as we discussed in module one on mindset, you are not a copywriter. Again, you are not a copywriter. You want to approach this instead as a project manager in charge of delivering sales copy. And that will help you make this process a whole lot more efficient and help you deliver copy a lot faster. And like a contractor who needs tools to build a house, you need tools to build copy. You need tools to create sales copy. It's not enough to have the right mindset. You need to have these tools in place to help you get things done quickly. And there are three different categories of tools we're going to cover in this training. The first training is on who, and these are tools you need to know your who inside and out. The next lesson is going to be on knowing exactly what you're going to provide to that who in order to solve their problem. And finally, we'll have some tools on exactly how you create that copy and speak to them to make their lives better with your product and your service. It's important to note, I have created some custom Write Killer Copy Fast AI tools, which work with ChatGPT to help you speed up this process. I will demonstrate those tools in a separate training video. But first, you absolutely need to understand some key concepts, which we'll cover now. Let's get started with the who, because honestly, this is the most important of them all. Dan Kennedy always recommended market first, product second. Market first, product second. And so many businesses and entrepreneurs have failed because they got this backward. They had an idea for some product, service, or invention that they really wanted to create or provide. So they took that service, they took that product, they took that stuff, filled up the back of a truck, and then started schlepping it around to see if anybody would buy. That is a huge mistake. You must understand your market first. You must understand your audience first, and only then put in the effort to provide them with a solution. You must spend the time to nail down the ideal client for the product or service you intend to provide. Don't be trying to figure this out for generic prospects who don't exist. If you're tasked with writing sales copy for yourself or for a client, and you don't understand them deeply enough in such a way that you can actually have a real conversation with them, stop the presses. So before you start writing any other kind of sales piece, you need to have a very deep understanding of that target customer. First, we're going to talk about some insights into the customer's mind and life that pretty much just scratch the surface. Things like where they live, what they do for a living, their career, how much money they make a year, their gender, age, politics, sports, things like magazines they read, websites, the stuff, the groups they belong to, etc. At a bare minimum, make sure you do scratch the surface and get to know them to at least that level of understanding. This is what's called demographic information. It's somewhat superficial and somewhat obvious, but you can't skip over it. Make sure to ask questions like, is there any sort of gender preference as it relates to my offer? And it's also important to know things like age, as in how old is this person I'm writing to? Are they married, divorced, single? Do they have kids? And if so, how old are the kids? Because, as you know, if you're a parent, you change as your children age. Not just because you've gotten older, your children have gotten older and they've taught you things and brought things into your life that you didn't expect. Demographic info also includes like where they live. Do they live in the Northwest like I do in Washington State? Or do they live in the Southeast like Florida? This can have a great effect on how you approach the sale. Now you also want to go a bit deeper, and this is a great tip. Try to figure out how they feel about these answers. How do they feel about being 35, 45, 55, 65, 74, whatever? How do they feel about being that age? Are they proud, embarrassed, surprised, sad? If you're doing a parenting program, product or service, how do they feel about being a parent right now? What's going through their heads right now about that? How do they feel about where they live? Are they happy where they live? This is the place where they always wanted to live? Is it pushing all the right buttons? Or do they rather live someplace else? The demographic info is important, but try to get a little deeper into the mind of your customer and about how they feel about that kind of information. It's important to know what kind of language they use, the words and jargon. Different groups, different industries, different occupations, they all use different words. I'm a golfer, and golfers have our own vernacular. You know, you hit the top half of the ball, you say you scald that shot. Off the tee, you might hit a worm burner. That's a shot that takes off hot, heavy, and hard, just 2 inches off the ground. We use a plumb bob technique to line up a putt. You have bunkers, which aren't holes in the ground with sand. They're sometimes called sand traps, but we generally call them bunkers. As a magician, we have our own vernacular too. Magicians don't do shows, they do gigs. They have things that make the magic tricks work, and that's a gimmick. And the words they use when performing a trick or routine is called patter. Companies have their own cultures and vocabularies too. Whereas at Microsoft, they like to hire for bandwidth and not necessarily experience. That's talking about the mental horsepower someone has when you get into a project. I also mentioned in this training about getting into ship mode. Well, that's a Microsoft term project managers use as they're getting near the end of a project. Another term was when you really wanted to analyze a problem, you want to drill down on it so you understand all the nuts and bolts and have a very detailed understanding of it. Another thing we used to do at Microsoft, which is actually a great technique and I recommend it, was before we go into a Bill G meeting where you had to present to Bill Gates for an upcoming projects, you would do a rude Q&A. Now, the rude Q&A means coming up with all the objections, all the problems that Bill would point out, all the rude questions you were sure that Bill was going to ask. And then you made sure you had answers to those questions. Now, you might not be able to have an answer to every question, but then you could at least be able to say, I don't know, but we're working right now to find an answer and show you're working on it. Note that you want to have an answer for everything your prospect may ask about your product or service. This is really important. So when you're writing copy, you want to speak like they speak and use the words they use. Create a dictionary of words and phrases that they'll use. This is very useful as a copywriter if you're trying to write in someone else's voice. When I had to write in Dan Kennedy's voice, I read lots and lots of Dan Kennedy's stuff. And I made sure I understand the kinds of phrasing he used and the terms he used, like writer downer. That's something you want to be able to be aware of if you're writing for someone else and trying to write in their voice. Okay, we've talked about demographic information. Now it's time to drill down a little deeper into what's called psychographic info. Now you really want to get inside their heads to figure out what makes them tick. And if you can answer these questions, you're able to identify the types of language and phrases they use to interact with their friends and peers. You want to sound like an old pal in your sales letter. These kinds of questions will provide you the ammo to do so. So again, going back, I mentioned this earlier. What websites do they visit? What social media do they use? And how often do they visit those sites? There are their blog sites to go to. Which ones do they post comments on? Go into those sites and see the types of people that hang out there. I do a lot of work with dentists, and I love an online forum site called Dental Town. I can read posts from dentists all over the world and see what they're thinking, what's causing them problems. And if you're writing copy for dentists, that's an extremely valuable thing to have. When I was doing copyright for magicians and selling products to magicians, there's a site called The Magic Cafe. And I'd go there often to see what magicians were talking about. It was really valuable. You want to find out what TV and radio they watch and listen to and when they do it. How much do they watch those TV? What kind of programs do they watch? Do they listen to news and commentary? Or like they watch sports? They watch home and garden shows, popular culture, the hits, you know, music. Where do they hang out when they're relaxing? What do they do for fun? Do they go to sporting events? Belong to clubs? Do they like to eat out? They attend church? How do they spend their weekends and their free time? Another thing to consider is how political they are. Are they liberal, moderate, conservative? Are they concerned about politics, or are they just kind of oblivious, like whatever? They vote every election, or they feel like it's not worth their time. It's important to know where they're coming from, and that also feeds into the books they read, the magazines, newspapers, and so on. Drill down into this person. Like, what do they like? What do they care about? What matters to them? Again, you really want to understand their hopes. Specifically, what are they hoping for as it relates to your offer and what you can provide? Are they hoping for massive change? Would even slight progress mean something significant to them? You want to understand their fears. What keeps them awake at night? And what are they doing to deal with those fears? In some cases, people go into bad places. You know, they, They drink too much. They shut themselves off from other people, whatever. What and how are they dealing with the fears that they're facing? What are they hoping for to solve them? What are their dreams? Do they have dreams? Or have they given up? Are they on the verge of despair? Are they almost ready to pack it in? Or are they positive? Are they looking forward to the future with optimism? Your copy must address the mindset that they're in at that moment in time. You want to get inside their heads and hang out there. Find out what's going on. A great question to ask regarding dreams. If they could wave a magic wand, what would they want to appear? I think that's a great question to ask and answer on behalf of your prospect. As you're trying to understand your customer, pain is probably one of the most powerful things we can use as copywriters to address what really matters to this person. Mostly because, in general, it's a lot easier to sell using pain than to sell using improvement. Selling a dream can be tough. But on the other hand, it's awfully easy to sell a pill to cure a problem that people are facing right now. Selling solutions is a lot easier. So really understand what's hurting them now that you can make go away forever. How much does it hurt? What level of pain is it causing? How far would they go to get rid of it? So when you really have this understanding of your customer, it's not a bad idea. In fact, it's good to write out a typical day in their life. So think this through. What is the first thing they do when they get up in the morning? Do they turn on the news? Do they read the newspaper? Do they do a quiet time? Do they grab food? Or do they get up late, typically, and are they rushed getting into work? What do they think about when they start their mornings? Think about how they spend their lunchtime. Are they hardcore driven? Do they just work through lunch? Or do they always make sure to take a break at lunch? Do they hang out with friends? And are they sociable? Or are they not sociable? They just rather be left alone. Is there someone in their life that they have to make happy? This is a really important question to ask. For example, if you're providing a service to a business and it's a B2B thing, you should know whether the person you're writing to has a boss or a supervisor that they're looking to please. Get into their heads. Think about what they can do to make this person happy. It could also affect their home life. Do they have a spouse they want to make happy? Do they have children they want to make happy? Do they have friends they want to make happy? This is another one that's very important with B2B. What are their key duties and how do they get measured on them? Again, when I was doing programs for schools, it was really important to understand when you wrote a letter to the person who hired a school entertainer that you understood what they're being measured on. In that case, they were being measured on how well the programs they provide to the students were educational, appropriate, and affordable. And of course, was the performance reliable? So those are the kind of things that they'll be measured on. You want to make them look good. On a typical day, how late do they work? Are they into clock watching so they get home right at 5 or take off right at 5? Or do they work late until the work is done for the entire day? So maybe it's like the day's never done. So when they get home, they take the work home with them? This is your prospect, and you need to know not only if they do this, think about how they feel about it. Like maybe you're selling a build-a-business kind of program, an opportunity program, and perhaps they do take work home with them. And maybe this is something they don't feel good about. They don't like having to do that. And maybe they'd rather have a career of their own, a business of their own, an adventure of their own, where they wouldn't have to do this anymore. Or perhaps they do feel good about it. Maybe they're an entrepreneur. And they take work home with them and they actually enjoy it because there are people who do this and this really matters to them and this is their passion. So do they take work home and how do they feel about it? And finally, what do they think about before they go to bed and before they go to sleep? What's the last thing on their mind? Are they worried about money or worried about relationships? Are they worried about their business? What are they thinking about? What's concerning them? What's on their mind? Another important thing to consider is to ask yourself, are there any big red flags that could cost you the sale? You may not be thinking about it, but remember, your prospects likely have multiple options when it comes to your product or service. There's a lot of competition out there. For example, a public school would likely avoid any kind of religious-themed magic show program. It's just not something they want to provide. But a Christian school, on the other hand, might well indeed welcome a religious-themed program. Every market could have big red flags that could cost you the sale. So do some digging to find out what could quickly cross you off their list. What is the key problem your product or service solves? Back when I was doing family magic shows, I understood that lacking a magic show wasn't the key problem being solved. It was much more about giving mom a break from the stress of dealing with 20 or 35-year-olds showing up on Saturday and causing chaos in her home. I figured out that selling a birthday party magic show was like being a plumber. Sound crazy? Not at all. Nobody thinks of a magician until they need them. And nobody thinks of a plumber, really, until they need them. You don't think about hiring a plumber until your toilet explodes, at which point that plumber is awfully darn important. So I thought of marketing my birthday party show in terms of the mindset of the parents who recognizes they have a party coming up on Saturday with 35-year-olds and they have no idea what they're going to do. Oh my God, we got to find something. So don't come at this from the perspective of what it is you do and provide. Think this through from the perspective of your prospect. Think through the problem they're desperate to solve. You also want to think about the pain that's caused if that problem isn't solved. Going back to the same example, the birthday party and those 35-year-olds, the pain is pretty obvious. You've got 35-year-olds running around your house. You've got to watch 35-year-olds making sure they don't knock over lamps, scare the pets, destroy the furniture. You've got to keep them under control for 2 hours for a birthday party. Hey, that's a lot of stress. If you've only just dealt with one kid, understand that having a couple dozen of them can produce total insanity and chaos. So you want to pile on the pain of them not hiring you, not purchasing your product, not purchasing your service. Go through exactly how bad it's going to be if they don't make the decision and instead just leave well enough alone, which was not going to be well enough. In fact, it's not going to be very well at all. You want to really understand the transformation. So what is the ultimate transformation? Remember waving that magic wand? People don't care what you do. They only care about the results you can deliver relative to the problem they need solved, because only then will life get better. They want this expressed in a very clear-cut way after you've finished with your service or after they've consumed or used your product. For a kid's magician, it could be that the home is now filled with happy, laughing children. So you get to get back. You get to just sit back and enjoy the family, enjoy the party. Those moments with your child and their friends are now totally stress-free. For a financial advisor, it could be that you now have total control over your finances. At last, you're on a path to a debt-free life with a healthy retirement out there waiting for you. For a physical therapist, you're now totally pain-free, and you can finally experience the joys of life without medications or restrictions. Whatever it is you deliver, whatever it is you offer, in your copy, make sure you lay it out in terms of a before and after kind of magical transformation. Truly understand that transformation, the transformation you're providing to your prospect and customer. Then make sure you understand how great they'll feel afterwards. Express clearly how wonderful it will feel. You will be known as the best mom in the universe. You will finally kick your buddy's butt on the golf course, and he'll have to buy you the drinks after the round. You'll have that sales letter written and done where he'll finally make you some money. Yes, sir, Reeb, you betcha. So how great will they feel afterwards? All thanks to you. Now, what might make them say no? What could make them say no? You want to come up with all the reasons for them not making the decision to take advantage of the offer you're going to make. It's so important to list all the possible objections you can think of that they will have. This is insanely valuable. It provides fodder and points for you to address in the creation of any letter and any copy you produce. You can use this in sort of like an FAQ format or section, or you can just simply weave the answers to the objections into the copy in different ways at different points, sprinkling throughout the letter. Now, here's some initial ones that are pretty much standard always. Why are you charging that amount? Will I have time to use it? Who else has it? Why should I trust you? That's a very important one. You need to make sure you answer that question. Will it work for me? This is probably the biggest question of all. Will this work in my situation? Will this work for me? Can I make this happen? You really need to address that. People don't feel comfortable or confident in themselves. It's many times a huge objection. In fact, potentially the major objection. There must be something you have in common with your prospect, and that's called affinity. It's really important as you go through this process to think about the things you have in common with your customer and who you have an affinity for, because it's so much easier to write copy to somebody that you can relate to on a deep basis. Again, I was a magician. It was very easy for me to write sales copy for magicians because I understood what life was like for them. As a parent, it's very easy for me to write to another parent about dealing with our children and birthday parties. As a small business owner, I understand what it's like to be a small business owner. I understand the stresses they face and the trials they face. So having an affinity is incredibly valuable in connecting with the people you're trying to market to and help them serve. Now, along with affinity, there's also empathy, and having empathy is so important. Empathy is when you can really feel their pain. Affinity helps you get there, but empathy is the key to getting into their shoes and their hearts. Can you really empathize with them in their situation? Can you really feel and understand and appreciate the struggles they're going? That's an important thing to develop as a copywriter. Now, also, what do you want them to do? This is a key question. What is your call to action? Do not forget this. You must nail down exactly what you want your prospect to do. Do you want them to click a button and buy right now? Do you want them to respond by email? Do you want them to send you back a letter? Pick up the phone and call? You need to be totally clear about this so the prospect is totally clear. Remember, your customer's Homer Simpson sitting on that couch not wanting to do a darn thing. You have to be extremely clear to Homer as to what you want him to do. So I'm going to leave you with an exercise I credit to my friend Dave D, and I think it's brilliant. I want you to sit down and write a letter from your customer asking for you to help them with a problem that you and only you can solve. They're putting out a cry for help. So really get inside their head. Feel what they feel. Speak in the way they would speak. Get under their skin and express what they're going through. Use all the stuff we've gone over. Now, this doesn't have to be a long letter. Just long enough so you can tell that you get where they're coming from in regards to what you have to offer. So just imagine if you even spent 5 minutes going through this process and visualize that person you're writing that sales letter for. Once you have a much better chance of getting inside their head, inside and in their heart, and conveying how much you can do for them. This letter doesn't have to be long. Write this letter. It's really important. And if you feel so motivated and inclined to do so, hey, please send this letter to me at jack@writekillercopyfast.com. I would be honored to see what you've come up with.